faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive, able to leap tall buildings at a single bound.
Up in the sky, it's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's the One Epic Life podcast. Two guys with some microphones, empowering people to live epic and break from a life of mediocrity. So take your shoes off, camp out for a bit, and get ready for another epic episode of the One Epic Life podcast.
Thank you for tuning in to the One Epic Life podcast. I'm Greg Howard with my partner in crime,
Dino.
Right here.
Well, you were sharp on that one.
I remember my name today.
That's really good. Thanks, buddy. Awesome. We have two amazing guests today. We have the one and only, my Uncle Mike, flew into town, and we wanted to get him on podcast, and his partner in crime, too, Jack, and want to welcome both you guys.
Thank you. Welcome.
Good to be here. Yes.
See you.
Jack, say your name real quick so we can all hear your voice.
Jack.
All right. And Uncle Mike?
Mike.
Okay, good. So everybody listening kind of knows voices and who's speaking who. So welcome. Thank you guys for coming on our podcast and being bored to death.
Yeah. Well, good beginning so far.
It's awesome. So we want to have you guys on our podcast, talk about some things and talk about life. And a lot of you don't know, for One Epic Life, Uncle Mike, we call him Uncle Mike, me and Dino.
We call him Uncle Mike.
Uncle Mike. He's Uncle Mike right off the bat for you.
That's right.
So he's helped us a lot with our company, One Epic Life, and mentored us and guided us and kind of structured us and helped us out a lot. He, in his own right, is entrepreneur himself with multiple companies and multiple divisions and just a real vision for business and stuff. So we really appreciate everything you've done for us. Thank you.
Thank you. You're kind.
Oh, well, it's true.
Thank you.
We wouldn't just say it.
You have said that.
I was trying to tell Jack tonight at dinner a funny story because every time we go out to eat, my Uncle Mike always looks for Thai food. And I have to tell a story.
You'll get arrested in three countries.
No, this is a good story.
This is not a good story.
So Jack's like, well, what story are you talking about? So I was like, well, I got to tell you tonight. We'll bust it on the podcast. So we had back when I lived in Yuba City, California. One of my dear friends, they owned a Thai restaurant called Sopa Thai. Shout out to Sopa Thai. And his name was Martin. And I knew Uncle Mike wanted to eat some. I know he wanted to eat some Thai. So I called Martin before about 2 hours. And I said, hey, I'm bringing my uncle in. Just go with whatever happens in there tonight. Like because I knew he was going to wait on our table. And he looks like he looks like a young Bruce Lee. Like he's a handsome dude. And
I am?
No. Martin.
Oh,
you well, you are too. You are too. I mean, you got more hair than I do.
I feel like Martin.
Yeah. Okay. So he goes, okay. I go, so Martin comes in, they seat us down, and I knew my Uncle Mike would ask some questions. So first thing comes up, we have this peanut sauce. It's P-E-A-N-U-T, peanut sauce.
That's how I always say it, it's peanut sauce.
So.
And I always pause between the peanut and the sauce.
Well, not on that night. No,
no,
just kidding.
Oh,
it's
the story.
So he gets done chowing down this peanut sauce, and first thing he says is, I love this peanut sauce. So I look over at Martin, and I wave him over. It was really rude, too, the way I waved him over. My Uncle Mike looked at me like, "What? That's rude." But I waved him over with one hand, and Martin's in full costume by this point, all right? He's ready to go. He comes up, and he goes, yes, sir. and Martin's Thai and Mexican, so he's got this larger-than-life personality. Love the dude. And I go, you know what? My uncle just loves, and instead of me saying peanut, I say penis sauce. And at that time, my Uncle Mike was, you were at Jack's church. You were on leadership. Never heard that term, penis.
Yeah.
Or camel toe. I taught you the word camel toe. I taught you that word, too.
Camels in a movie.
Exactly. So we'll go the other way with this.
So I
tell him.
I was eating food, and all of a sudden it turns into some
I know.
Kind of
I tell him, hey, my uncle loves this penis sauce. And my uncle's face just drops out. He's like, no. And Martin goes, oh. He goes, one order of peanut sauce coming right up again. and he hits the side of his legs and storms off. And my uncle's sitting there going, no, I said peanut sauce, peanut sauce. So that was our story. It was pretty funny, I thought.
Yeah, it was very
funny. You should have seen your face, though.
Yeah, I
did. That was classic. Anyways, that's okay. No racy.
I was embarrassed. That's that. I haven't been back to Yuba City for quite a few years.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not in that place, for sure.
Yeah. So just a little history, Uncle Mike, and then Wasp Jack, too. What, like, right now, can you just tell our listeners what you do for a living? What's your main function
in
Northern California?
We have foster care programs in three counties, from the Oregon border down to about a town called Corning, which is north of Chico, and then we do counseling. We have counseling centers, and we do transitional housing for youth homeless that would otherwise be homeless youth, and we deal with very intensive treatment of children who would ordinarily be put in group homes.
Right.
So that's kind of what we do.
Right. And Jack, you now consult with Uncle Mike on his team and work there, and like, what's your role there? And because you guys are a pretty awesome team, what do you guys do?
Yeah, I've been the president of the board because it's a 501c3 nonprofit corporation.
Right.
So I've been the president of the board for that corporation for, I don't know, 10 years?
Hmm. We had a different, years? I had a different color hair. I'm not sure what color hair
it is. It's been a long time anyway.
So how many years you get? 15 years, you guys?
Oh, wow, okay.
I think it's been at least 14. Yeah, because I was in his church and we chartered it. I think that was back in 15. Or no, that was back 15 years ago. So he came on to the board, and then he missed a board meeting, and we elected him president. So
I've never missed a meeting since.
No, he's been very punctual in all of our future meetings.
Dude, so, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So
that's funny.
Yeah.
And so for our listeners too, Jack was a pastor at a Four Square Church for over 15 years, mm-hmm. correct?
17 years.
And that's how you and Mike.
So we met.
How you guys met, mm-hmm. and then you guys have formulated on projects and stuff. So that in itself speaks volumes as far as, you know, your guys' working relationship and the ups and downs of mm-hmm. friendship and work. And you guys have grown together, and I've seen it, and it's pretty awesome. So we kind of want to have you guys on here tonight. You guys are flying out tomorrow. And we just wanted to ask you some questions and stuff, and ours. We always try to tie our stuff back into our pillars and what we do at One Epic Life as far as leadership. And me and Dino are really, really keen to hearing other people's, I think, more than just opinions, but their thoughts, their ideas, and, you know, from people who have kind of lived life. And ultimately, that's what our life coaching is about, and you guys as well, your company. I mean, I think for our listeners, I mean, you guys are much more than just foster care and counseling. I know you guys have created programs, for instance, as kids that are transitioning out of foster care, where you worked on getting them cars to get to jobs, and just different pilot programs that you guys tried, worked, and had success and didn't have success, and all those ups and downs. So we kind of wanted to pose two questions tonight. And Dino, is there anything you want to ask them before we get going on that one?
No, let's hear these questions.
All right. So we'll put Jack up first. And dinner, I'd pose this question a little bit to him was, so the idea and the practice biblically of looking back, and you have the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. You have other stories, you know, in the Bible biblically where, you know, we're told not to look back, but it seems like we all kind of constantly look back, mm-hmm. and I kind of wanted you to touch on that and the importance of not looking back, and how do you not look back in your own life? Like there's probably times in your life where you've fallen short or done something because you're human, and to not get stuck looking back and kind of just explain, you know, the importance of that from a biblical worldview, and then also as a professional, if you don't mind.
Yeah. Yeah. The Bible word is remember, right? So we are to recollect things that have gone on in our past as a point of reflection.
Right.
So there's things that we need to remember because it orients us correctly to where we are right now and where we're headed. So we need to remember the things that God's spoken to us, or the promises of the past, the events of the past that where we've made it through.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so I think people get stuck, and I've gotten stuck by looking at past failures and then you ruminate, and that's the negative side of it, is you ruminate over things that past decisions that you've made that haven't turned out well or whatever. And so our objective as believers is to remember the promises, remember and reflect on the things that have gone on in the past so that we can look forward. And so my personal experience with that has been very just like everyone else's. You face failures and you kind of get stuck there.
Right.
You know, considering what you should have done, what you could have done, and those things are in the past. And
right.
And so we're called to look forward and to press on, you know, as the scripture says,
right,
toward those things which lie ahead.
Right.
And the hope that we have is that God has called us into a future that's grander, better than our past. Mm-hmm. And so it is that future that we fixate on and pursue with all of our strength and all of our might.
Right. Do you think, and me and Dino, you know, dealing with youth, you guys deal with youth, we do too, is the whole getting stuck there, man, it's like, how do you get out? Like, mm-hmm. like at times, like capturing your thoughts and all those little mm-hmm. principles that I always thought were corny, they really now have come real life. You know, as far as my life, they're very applicable, mm-hmm. is in the sense that capturing my thoughts. And then I was just thinking of something you said, is you remember your past so you can use it as something for your future. And that really falls into self-talk for a lot of us.
Absolutely.
It ties in, you know, you got to have that self-talk to know. It's kind of like when Isaac was on here, we were talking to Isaac about, you know, how do you step on the scene at San Diego State? You know, you're a freshman, mm-hmm. you got all these grown men playing, you know, Division I football at the top level. And he said, well, I look back and I reflect from my workouts previous to know that I can get through this moment right now. And I'm here not by chance.
Yeah, that's great.
I'm here not by mm-hmm. chance. So, yeah, I think that's great what you say. Mm-hmm. When you counsel people, what are some of the things that you do to help them, you know, to, if there's someone listening today, and a lot of times, how do you help someone, you know, let go of that past? Like, I know it's a very in-depth thing for each person's different, but...
Well, I think the imagery that I use is that we get caught in a cycle of thought. And so that cycle is typically I think about my problem or identify the problem. I'm, you know, this happened in my past and I'm here because of that. And then we come up in our own self, in our own minds, we come up with the solutions. And then so we'll say, well, I should try this, I should try that. And then we talk ourselves out of the solutions. We come up with all the reasons that won't work.
Right.
And then we're right back up to the problem again. Hmm. And then we go into, okay, so what? How can I get out of this? Or how can I move forward? And then I talk myself out of the things that can, you know, that the reasons that those won't work. And I'm back to the problem again.
Right.
So it's, we get stuck in a cycle. And the only way to break that cycle often for people is to get somebody else's thoughts, somebody else's belief in us, somebody else who has a broader perspective, who hasn't lived what we've lived, to speak into our lives and help us to break that cycle and say, well, have you thought about this? Or you've discounted this as a solution and this can really help you move forward. And so I try to help people visualize that as far as you're stuck in the same cycle over and over again. You're not going to solve that in your own. You keep
right.
looking inside yourself. You know, we really trust in introspection, asking ourselves questions. And I think we do that kind of sometimes to our own harm, because
we
need something outside of ourselves in order to break those cycles and move forward.
That's
so good.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I love that, because even today, I went home. Well, how many times have I called you, Uncle Mike? And I'm like, man, I'm, you know, I'm stressing this. And you're like, man, you lay everything out. It's that accountability, but more than just accountability, lays out validity
right.
to what's really going on. And I was thinking about that today. I went home and I got a little bit of anxiety. And I was thinking, there's so many times that I focus on what's going on at that moment and what if and what could and all the stressors of that, instead of focusing on how many times Christ has entered in and saved me and provided for me, like on a real level.
Right.
Even this last year and a half here in San Diego, you know, and it's funny because, I mean, this summer I was living in a garage at times trying to rent my house out for an Airbnb while trying to launch, you know, One Epic Life and like we're doing life. Like, that's real life. Like, I call my uncle and he goes, well, you're going to have a great story. And I'm like, man, it's not fun though. Like, so I remember, you know, like that's stressful. Like, you know, you're trying to make it here in San Diego. It's expensive and we're breaking into a market and you got to do what you got to do to survive. But it's those times where I call you and you say, hey, you got to push through and do this. So thank you, Jack. We appreciate that. That's awesome. So Uncle Mike, it's funny. You've had an awesome life. I always like hearing stories and of stuff where you, how you grew up and growing up in Colorado and just different life experiences you've had. One that really stands out to me is your, tomato farm that you had with your brother, Uncle Bob. Mm-hmm. And can you explain how that idea came up and where you were at even a little bit before that, you know, where you were in life and just kind of explain that time.
Yeah, this goes back about three centuries, so I'll try to remember it. So I was in San Francisco. I was living in San Francisco, and I was selling insurance, I believe, selling insurance and doing okay. And I decided that I wanted to do something different. So I'd done FFA, Future Farmers of America, in high school. So I went to this Berkeley seminar about raising hydroponic food, where you can make $50,000 on a quarter of an acre.
And which was cutting edge at that time.
Cutting edge, yeah. So I generally, the good part of me is that I take an idea and I move. If I got an idea in the morning, I implement it in the afternoon. Wow. The bad part of me is if I have an idea in the morning, I implement it in the afternoon. So it's a paradox because I don't wait. If it's a good idea, let's do it. So I got some money together and I had some money and went up to 2 acres in the hardest hard pan soil that I've ever seen. We had to dig with a loader to dig up the soil. There was no water. We finally got irrigation. We planted 54,000 plants under PVC. Oh, wow. And,
right.
and plastic.
You know, so a greenhouse.
Plastic. Yeah, did a greenhouse. And it was cutting edge. And what we're trying to do is get the last 2 months of like September, October, where the prices go up. Had it all priced. I was going to be able to.
You also had a hookup too with Joe. Well,
Joe Carcione's son Peter,
the greengrocer.
Yeah, the greengrocer. His son. They had a business down in South City, San Francisco. So I marketed. I said, if I can get you tomatoes, will you buy them? He goes, yeah, I'll buy all you can bring me. Well, on September 1st, I think there was 100-mile-an-hour wind come through with rain, and just destroyed. I just remember the living in this single wide trailer, and the wind was blowing it sideways, and I'm thinking, okay, this is going to destroy my thing. So I went out there, and the plastic is somewhere. It went hundreds of miles. I don't know where it went. Into the ether.
Oh, my goodness.
It's gone. And I drove around town all 3 years. You were sitting in Marysville at 3 o'clock in the morning just going, what in the hell am I, excuse me, but what am I doing?
Right, right, right.
Going,
right.
How could this happen? So I went back, looked at the land the next morning, went to your mom's house, stayed the night there, got an hour or two of sleep, went back the next morning, looked at the land, and there was no plastic, there was no PVC. So I had to get more money to put the thing back again. Cause
financially, where were you at that point? Like,
I was beans and rice at that point. and no dating at all. It was a lonely time.
You're just out on some ranch in a trailer.
A lonely ranch in a trailer. My brother got annoyed because his religion said you couldn't work on Sunday, and I said we got to work every minute we possibly can to put this back together.
Right.
He left town. He had children. He left town, and so it was up to me. I went back, got money, put the plastic up, the PVC back up. And 1 week later, the storms came through again. It was the most incredible year. 100-mile-an-hour storms wiped me out again.
Wow.
And so I stayed for about a week because there was some fruit on the vines that I made a little bit of money, maybe
right.
$200. And I was expecting to make about $50,000. This was early 1980s.
Wow.
So I left there. I think I had 38 cents in my pocket and headed to back down to Bay Area. And so... So broken and couch surfing and homeless for one night, and kind people took me in.
It's amazing because the question I had for you, and I kind of thinking, man, what kind of grit and resilience does that take to push through. And I mean, you come out of a traumatic situation there, and then now you're broke in an expensive city, uh-huh. one. And then, you know, how did you push through? I mean, what have you, before I asked you that question, you said, oh, you're going to, you know, bring out my worst times of my life. But those worst times have brought you to where you are now, yeah. definitely in business and being an entrepreneur.
Yeah, you can connect the dots in the past really easy. I mean, but as you're going through something, it's the worst of times.
Right.
And so it's like, if you're not going to kill yourself, then you're going to take a step forward. And as much faith as you possibly have, and there I was into metaphysics and all kinds of stuff in the Bay Area, but you take another step hoping that there's something.
Were you wearing Birkenstocks?
I was wearing woolen shorts. Thanks for asking.
Oh, wow.
So, woolen shorts. Well,
and a gray fanny pack.
Yeah. I always had that around the back. So it was a stylish thing. So,
that's awesome.
Thanks for those are very penetrating
wool shorts. I just picture you hanging out at the park there.
I got arrested in 3 counties. Let's not talk about that.
I'm not allowed back in Marin Headlands.
No, Wozniak and some guy named Jobs didn't want me around their house. I don't know. It's don't go there, okay? But it's a bad time. So I just cut.
That's awesome.
I just kind of go, okay, what's the deal? I'd put in a job doing cleanup at a lumber mill, and they hadn't called me. And I go, well, this is quite low. You can't even get, you're out of the Army. You can't even get a job at a cleanup. And they called me the day after I left. They called the phone, and they told my dad later, we tried to get a hold of them to hire him. So I might have went a different direction. I could have been a foreman at a lumber mill.
Right.
Instead, I became this thing that I am now. So basically, I went back, and then one day I was staying over on a couch, and I went out the next morning, and my car doors were wide open, and somebody took all my stereo out. So oh, this man. Is like, you are not a, something's wrong with your life. This is, they're, all the gods have lined up against you, and this is not a good situation.
Which a lot of people can relate to that.
It happens. I hope not, but yeah.
Well, I mean, but it happens a lot. It's like the old term, when it rains, it pours. Yeah. And,
but I also was always, before I became a Christian, I was a believer in Stoicism, Marcus Aurelius, that you keep fighting and that eventually you win. And that somewhere along the road, if other people have done things, you find out how they did things and you become successful. So I'd had a failure. And when you have failure, sometimes your family is not that supportive of you. You're just the fool of the family. And so you get back up and you go again.
Right.
And I had energy and had no idea what I was doing, no mentoring, no real solid man type figure or wisdom. It was like more that you failed and now are you a failure? And so we've all had some of that. I mean, I had that in seventh grade of high school, the teacher would line me up in front of the class and part my hair in the middle and give me granny glasses and make fun of me and tell the class that I'd be in prison. He wouldn't say me. He'd say, some of you, and he'd have me up in front of the room. He'd say, some of you are going to be in prison by the time you're 16, which I think he was talking about.
He's got his hand over his shoulder.
And he was found knife 2 days later. But I don't know what happened. I truly don't. I have talked to the police, and there's no evidence that I have. But then they put me in a classroom with people that were, later, they all died pretty early. They're pimps, prostitutes, and gangbangers. And they put us, because I couldn't do algebra, pre-algebra, I couldn't do new math. That's something just has never clicked. They put me in this class with these kids, and they were rough kids, and they give us a bunch of general math, packets of it, and we were just supposed to sit in there alone and do this math, because we were the, maybe kids that weren't retarded, but were educated. From the education standpoint, we couldn't function very
well. Right.
So they're like, you got to do something with them, put them in a room alone and see if anybody comes out alive. Tough.
Oh, evil. Man. Turn up the music.
Yeah, the women were, I mean, they were like, they ended up bad shape. And the guys, I think most of them died at a very early age. But I learned general math. And so that really benefited me going forward. I can think through things. And I mastered that. I never mastered algebra. But even going through And you haven't asked me very many questions, so...
No, this is awesome. This is great.
So I went to college and tried to get through college, and I couldn't pass statistics because I never had algebra.
Right.
So finally, I freaking passed every class and went from a student that the dean would write regular letters to, telling me how much he enjoyed my beer drinking and that I might be able to get my act together, to 3.8 the next semester, because a psychologist really helped me learn how to study, to... At the end, I go, they're not going to give me a degree because I can't pass these tests. So I finally wrote the dean and said, hey, I hire CPAs, I work with lawyers, I run a blah, 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 million-dollar company. Can you give me my degree? And finally, they did.
But they showed your competence in it. You showed it.
Well, they probably thought I was a terrorist.
We share two things in common there. I definitely spent time in a dean's office during college. I was threatened a few times that they were going to send me home.
I think you had your own desk. If I remember right.
That's scary in college, because high school is just different. We're going to call your mom. But in college, they're like, you have 1 week or you're out of school,
right,
off your scholarship.
What right does the dean have to tell you whether you can drink or not?
Yeah.
What right do they have?
Well,
I've never understood that.
It's pretty crazy. I never got to a 3.8, but I hovered in that 2.7 range and got a degree.
Yeah.
2.7.
I'm the opposite of you guys. Oh. I'm the opposite.
What happened?
You're like straight 4.0. A's.
I'm a straight A's.
4.7.
Yeah. Aren't
4.0.
you?
4.0.
Wow.
So much better.
Look like it.
Really?
Good looking.
You wanted to say that right here.
I did. Yeah. I got a 4.0.
I got a 2.7.
I had a 1.9. And he named me. He put my name on the letter. I know he signed it.
It's a
special letter, really.
It's amazing, though, like what you come through and even, you know, going to college then and making it into college and how that has to change your self-talk too moving forward, because self-talk is such a big deal, and talking to yourself every day and saying I can do this, I can push through, you got it. It sounds weird, but it's just so powerful.
Yeah.
And what's that like for you on a daily? I mean, you have to get up every day, you're the guy.
Yeah.
Well, what'd you tell yourself to initially drop everything or jump into this tomato farm?
To get into it.
What'd you tell yourself? I mean, was there any fear going into it? So it was just...
There was I was doing okay in the Bay Area, but it was very expensive. I didn't have any family. I'm living in apartments. And this looked like a way that I was going to get rich quick. So I'd read a lot of the rich, you know, the Napoleon Hills and all that. And I think they've had a positive influence on my life. But it was like taking a risk. I've always been a risk taker. And I've changed over the years. That back then it was bet the farm, let's go for it. Now
right.
It's like limited risk. And I want to know that there's a good idea of success. Mm. And so I will really research, as you guys have experienced over the last couple of days, I will really dig into something before I jump into it.
Right.
Because I want to know that it's successful. But I think quite frankly, probably... had a lot of my years in misery of anxiety and depression. A lot of years. I mean, and it's gotten less and less. I mean, I'm 64, okay? So, and I know this will surprise you guys, but I wasn't always this good looking. Okay, I'm just telling you. That's just the way it is. I'm sorry.
It's just a fact.
It just happened. So you've got a lot to look forward to.
Oh, man.
Because you guys
Your hair looks good, too.
Thank you.
He got a comb today, by the way.
I bought this paint stuff on TV, and you spray it. As long as you don't keep the can in one place too long, you're in shape. So it's pretty good stuff. But I also, I've really realized over the years at this point, that screw the... misery. Thoughts aren't real. Feelings aren't real. Thoughts might be real, but feelings aren't real. They're just things.
That's true.
You can't touch them. They can't hurt you. But you keep the junk going on, and they come from somewhere, whether childhood and I've got things that I do, and I go, man, I did that at 7 years old, that pattern of behavior. Now I kind of like go, okay, so what? It's not everybody's got it. And I realized that everybody's things are pretty common to man. So if I got a belly button, probably the three guys at this table have a belly button.
Right.
Okay, so I've got fear, I've got desires, I've got this, I've got that. They may not have the same ones, but they got stuff to deal with.
Exactly.
So I figured, okay, I'm smart enough. I mean, I didn't prove it in college or high school or grade school, but I'm smart enough. And I tested high on some IQ tests, which is really incredible, the paradox. But I feel like I'm smart enough. And so I go, okay, why would I sit under people who aren't doing a good job, who aren't ethical?
Right.
And I had this happen at one time. A guy went to prison for ripping off his mom. And I'm going, this guy's employing me. And I quit. And I started Children First Foster Family Agency. But I really realized that I don't want to be miserable anymore. And if I, so from that point on, I kind of, am I doing the right thing in every moment that I can? Am I doing
being the best you
life without regrets now? And and so it's hard with people around me because I'll just be blunt. You know, if I'm dealing with employees, I'll go, this is what I see. At least I'm clean. I'm not playing right. games. I'm not taking that misery home. I should have told him this. I don't like him. Forget that. I'm going to be as open, as transparent as I can without trying to hurt anybody. But I'm not going to live in misery.
Right.
I mean, I've got one life to live. Why live it in any kind of misery?
And that's that lesson is, man, that's priceless because a lot of people don't figure that out until really their life's over. And I've always heard that the two top choices or two top wishes on people on the deathbed, one is they wish they wouldn't have worked as much as they did. The second one is they wish they could have been who they wanted to be instead of being something for everyone else. Mm-hmm. And you just hit it right there. It's like, I'm going to live transparent. I'm going to live real and I'm not going to have guilt with it. And I walk with my chin up and that's a great pillar for us to build on too. It's kind of crazy. You talk about not, I mean, both you guys, because I'm in a different, you know, Dino's at a different stage of his life and just different generations. But now with the social media and the Gary Vaynerchuks and all these guys, everyone thinks these guys are just some brilliant dudes. But the reality is, I mean, the guys before them, the Les Miles, the different, you know, there's guys that paved the way, just like in the NBA and NFL. Get all these great speakers and motivational guys that really paved the way for what's going on right now with social media and all these great quotes and people on Instagram and everything. And it just blows my mind that you came up at a time where you didn't have this tool at your hands. Mm-hmm. Imagine Mike Logan or Jack, like you guys having a tool like most of these kids have. This is, I mean, indisposable.
Well, I'm glad I did in many ways because you only get the end result. You don't get to study. You don't get the reflection.
The true.
You don't get the evaluation, reading the books, understanding.
Right.
I mean, like Stoicism or Marcus Aurelius or Eric Hoffer was a longshoreman philosopher in San Francisco. You don't have the meditation time that I did by reading a book. I mean, we read books. And so that had a way of penetrating us. Right now, people come up with these ideas and people go, oh, my gosh, they're amazing. Well, they are. But they've been around for a long time.
Right.
It's just that people don't want to do the work, and they think they have to move on from one idea to another idea to another idea quickly, or they're going to lose something.
Wow.
And I've had employees that quit working for me because they've got some idea, and they're going to quit. And I go, do you want to keep part-time here and make sure this works? They get out there, they're hyped up, and they fall on their face.
There's nothing behind it.
And they don't want any wisdom necessarily. They don't want any feedback. They want to do their thing. And that's one way of learning. I mean, I would have relished that in the early days, but a lot of people just want to, they hear this motivational stuff. But as we were talking this afternoon, for me, the hype doesn't mean anything because I know what living out life is after the hype. I mean, we could get a vision today and somebody could present something and we're going to go being network marketers, and if you get 12 people and they get 12 people and they get 12 people, we'd be rich, okay?
Right.
But then dragging that little whiteboard to people's homes or now some kind of technology on your TV, it's going to be a grind at some point, and you're going to have to solve problems.
Yeah.
And we have a culture in if something is uncomfortable, you don't do it. Any kind of discomfort means you failed. And I'm thinking, I mean, we do ministry all the time. We help kids all the time. Jack and I have created one of the incredible homeless program for kids that's helping lots of kids in three counties get stuff that they've never had before,
right.
Help that they've never had before. And it's been struggle. It's been problems. We're here to solve problems. But if you have the context that if you do everything right, everything should be smooth, it's when you hit those life, then you... people give up, And that, I think that's probably the one thing that people haven't learned, and we call it grit or determination. But people haven't learned that, that you're always going to have a problem, and after the hype, you're going to have to walk through life. You're going to have to go through the same thing.
Those rocks in the creek that you used to talk about, those boulders in the creek.
Yeah. And so and it's a good metaphor, because I always look for people say, we're going to get our kayaks and go down this river and it's going to be sweet. And I go, no, let's look for the boulder, because the boulder's coming.
Right. You have to get out and walk for 20 feet.
Let's get the boulder taken care of now and see what the barrier is, the obstacle. Let's search for the barrier.
Right.
And today we did that, right?
Right.
What's
right.
the barrier?
Right.
Because if you don't do that, you're going to hit it anyway. Now, some people go, well, I didn't need you to tell me that. I wanted to feel good about what I'm doing. Okay. Well, that's a philosophy. My philosophy is I want the boulder out of the way, and I want to know where it's at, and I'll deal with it now. And can I get around it, through it, over it? If I can't, okay, then I'm not going that way. But I'd rather know it now than invest all this time and energy and go down that river.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a different way of living it. And it probably, some people, it's negative, or it's too hard, or it's too whatever it is. But for me, it works. And I think what Jack does, and what I do, and what you guys do, and I know you do, is you look at what is God's will for my life.
Right.
And I think Martin Luther King, he had some of the greatest speeches of all time. But a poignant thing he said was, one of the greatest things we can do is God's will.
Wow.
And anytime I'm dealing with a problem, the first thing is, oh, crap, do I have to deal with this? Is there any way I can get around not dealing with this problem? And there generally is no. Okay, what do I have to do? Okay, you get to there, and then you go, what is the right thing to do, which is the third level for me. And the right thing is generally God's will. What's the right thing to do, the ethical, the moral? But I am like everybody else going, can I get around not dealing with this problem? But eventually I go through those three steps and come up with what's the right thing and trust God that he's going to walk through if I do the right thing.
That's awesome.
It's a philosophy that you get from, Wheaties, back of Wheaties and all that
good.
Stuff. But yeah,
it's
I
good.
Mean, it's a way of living. Yeah, and I think that's how we find that out. And gosh, I mean, sure, there have been people who've lived before, but I haven't. I mean, karma and all that, I haven't lived before. So it's like there's mistakes to be made. There's forgiveness to be sought. There's grace to be given. Those are the things that we do, because we're going to be making all kinds of errors.
Amen.
Raising our kids and saying stupid stuff to them.
Right.
And hating somebody because of something they did that wounded us, and hanging on to that, and building an apartment in our heads and keeping them in there. It's a waste of life.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's a good place to end, man. That was good.
Soak it all in.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you guys. Uncle Mike, where can we find you on what's your website for your company?
It's Logan and Associates, right? Am I right? We just put a day together.
Your website is mblogan.com.
.com.
Yes. .com, thank you.
And Jack, you have a new company. What's yours?
Mine is oibizadvisor.com.
Okay, so oibizadvisor.
Advisor, yes.
.com.
Yeah.
Do you guys have, are you guys on Instagram at all or anything?
Yeah, I am.
What's yours?
I don't have no idea.
Okay, we'll find you. We're going to, we'll find you.
You know, the interesting thing about it, the relationship Jack and I have, is that we have complementary roles. Like, he handles a lot of the technical, the thoroughness stuff, and I go, Jack, you're an extraordinary consultant. Why don't you go talk to HR, or why don't you get together with this blah, 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 and he'll go do that. And I just like go, let's do this. And he's like, and so we work out. So he knows my addresses. I go, I don't know where they are, unless I need them. But,
I don't know your Instagram account. Yeah. So,
it's, I don't even put anything on the thing. But, if I do, I'll probably be more successful. So awesome. I'm going to work on that.
Well, we appreciate you guys coming on.
Yeah, we definitely.
It's been a nice couple of days, and look forward to you guys coming down again and being on our podcast again. And man, this was just really good tonight. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Gave some real good content. So thank you.
Thank you.
All right. We'd like to thank all of our sponsors, One Epic Life Podcast. Next week, tune in. We'll be having some different guests come on and stuff. Anyways, take care. Have one epic life. Oh, Dino,
You're going to France?
I'm going to France on Saturday.
Yeah. Okay, 3 weeks?
3 weeks in France, so we'll see what that entails.
Awesome, awesome.
I'll update everybody on my Instagram and social media.
Cool, and then you're shipping out in April.
Yeah, the end of April to Afghanistan.
So keep you in prayers, and for our listeners, too, keep them in prayers, please. And, yeah, so anyways, all right, brother. Well, thank you. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
We want to thank you for tuning in to the One Epic Life podcast. If you have any questions for us, drop us an email at info@oneepiclife.org. If you're interested in personal life coaching or wanting to join our One Epic Fitness community, reach out to us and we would love to meet you. And finally, remember to embrace the journey of life you're on and to live epic every day. Until next time, love well and live epic.